Welcome to Helping Kids Be Kids, a little lighthouse podcast where our passion is to help parents of kids with special needs be confident caregivers. Our mission is to glorify God by improving the quality of life for children with special needs, their families, and communities. I'm your host, Mindy Wiggins, and I am so glad you're here. Today, we are speaking with Kimberly Fritz and talking about her son, Noah, and their story. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you for being here. Let's talk about a little bit about when you saw your son face to face for the first time. Did you immediately get a diagnosis, or what were your feelings and emotions at that time?
When I first had my son, the birth and the pregnancy was different than anything I'd experienced. I knew something was just kind of different about the pregnancy. And when he was born, he was his own type of individual. And when he started to age and he wasn't hitting certain milestones, I decided to look for a little bit of help. And I turned at that time to what I knew best, to find professional help. And that was with the Social Security Administration and filing for his disability. And in that, they helped me to see a psychiatrist in Oklahoma City. And we took him down there and she spent some time with Noah. And it was during that time I was processing emotions and feeling thrown into the mix very quickly.
Sure.
Trying to be supportive and still stay upbeat because my child was still thriving and doing well and things were getting difficult, but we were going to accomplish whatever was in front of us. I didn't see it as a setback. I saw it as just a new way of seeing the world, a new way of doing things, a challenge. I was up for the challenge, but I was still struggling on the inside with where I was going to find connection, where I was going to find that sense of belonging, others that were in the same position. I was still going blindly with trying to find his diagnosis. There was not a lot of availability for a developmental pediatrician, which is what led us into the Social Security side. And we feel very blessed that we did receive that approval from Social Security, because that did lead us down to, okay, we know what path we're going down and we know who to ask for help. And that was the state resources and the public school system. And when I found out that the Little Lighthouse was an option, I just can't even put into words what those emotions were, because I have a strong faith. And that's probably where I get a little bit of that resilience in accomplishing those tasks for my son, is my foundation in Jesus.
Absolutely. That's such an important part of our journey. And I believe you mentioned that when you saw that psychiatrist, eventually, years down the road, you were actually able to finally get a diagnosis for your son. Can you share a little bit about his diagnosis and how you found that out?
Yes, absolutely. I finally got into a local developmental pediatrician post-COVID. So this is 3 years later. This is in the middle of him already being into therapy. I received the autism diagnosis, severe communication level 4. And so his communication was just extremely delayed and still is. He is verbal, like he can form words, particularly singing, that he learned in the early intervention program here at the Little Lighthouse. And he loves to sing, and he has, that's just a sweet voice. So hearing that at all is a blessing.
That's so sweet. But you raise a really good point, how often we are trying to help our children be the most they can be without knowing exactly where they need our help the most. So you came to the Little Lighthouse. How did you find out about the Little Lighthouse?
I have drove by the Little Lighthouse since I was a little girl, lived locally, and always wondered what it would be like to be a part of the Little Lighthouse, because they did such wonderful things that I'd heard in the community. And I just couldn't believe that there was someone like them in the community that helped the children that nobody wanted to help, you know. Years and years ago, that was even more difficult than today. It's difficult today as well, but it's been an uphill battle. So I always wondered what that would be like. And so when I was given resources through therapy, and it was kind of made known to me via social media and through therapies that the Little Lighthouse had the early intervention program, I was elated to apply and sign up for that and get my son any exposure to that Christian foundation and that community, you know, in any way that I could, because it's kind of like the central area for everyone to come that's looking for help. Mm-hmm. You're looking for help, and you can find that in state resources, but most of the time I'm pointing everyone to the Little Lighthouse because there's help here.
Absolutely. And the community that you find here is so important, because if they don't know it, someone else here might have gone through that experience. They can help you. You can help them in ways that your average therapist or teacher may not have experience and be able to do. Such a good point. We all have challenges that are unique to our families. So what do you find to be the biggest challenge for your family right now?
I really think that the adaptive challenges are first and foremost on my mind at the moment. I've been training my son to be a part of society and not be ashamed of who he is as a person. So there's a lot of stores locally that have integrated the Caroline cart for individuals that are older with special needs. And there is a big movement on social media right now for adult-sized changing tables mm-hmm. in public facilities that I am a huge advocate for people with disabilities as a whole. So right now I'd like to bring attention to the adaptive challenges for people in the special needs communities and kind of fill that gap on a level that isn't being made aware to everyone. I don't feel like mothers and fathers should be changing their children on the bathroom floor. Mm-hmm. I think that it should be known to people that that's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will provide a list in our episode notes of where you can find Caroline carts and adult size adjustable changing tables. So if you're curious about that, check out our episode notes. But it's such an important thing for children and parents, but also for adults. There are adults who have special needs and have caregivers that are looking for those things as well. I completely agree. If we had asked you, how do you help your kid be a kid? How would you explain that to our listeners?
Oh, 100%. I would ask them to play with their child, to join them in that explorative play and in that sensory play, and to see the world from their point of view, to just join them in those adventures and make those memories with their children. They will see the world from a different perspective, and they will understand more about themselves and their child. I just would 100% encourage caregivers and parents to engage with their children and play, 100%.
That's such a good point, because with all of the appointments we have for doctors and therapists and specialists, it can be very easy to lose the opportunity to simply play with your child. That's a great point. Well, Kimberly, we thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you for sharing your story and Noah's story.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here.
If you have any questions for our staff or stories about how this podcast has benefited you, email us at helpingkidspodcast@littlelighthouse.org. If you are new to the podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. You can find us at littlelighthouse.org and on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest. At the Little Lighthouse, we gladly give away our services and resources for free. We can do this because of the generosity of people who believe in the value of all kids. Until next time, enjoy helping your kids be kids.